It's already the first international break, so this week we review Deadline Day and ask when we'll all want Isak. We run through our potential wildcard squads, and again, Sam wishes she was anywhere else but here. So somehow we are here. It's the first international break of the season already. Some of us needed a break from FPL more than others. Should we just Magic go there Johnson. Early on?
Magic Johnson is back, number 32.
I don't even think I need to introduce us. If you're listening to this podcast, you know us very well. You probably know what I'm getting at. Kelly Summers with you, a very smug Julian Laron. And again, Sam, who doesn't want to be here?
3-2.
It's my lucky number now. That's it.
We're going to retire your shirt soon, Magic.
It's like a Band-Aid, Sam. We go early, we rip it off, we're done.
Do you know what? I think I said last week, I can't get any worse. It can't possibly get any worse. I'm like a million behind where I was last week now. It has definitely got worse. And yet I still persist in looking at my team thinking, Alex, all right, that should have done way better than it did.
When you came on and I said, have you wild card? And you were like, no. I was like, what does it take to do a wild card? Like, how bad does it have to be? I'm joking.
You're not allowed to do a wild card when you've got less than 33 points
Thank
2 weeks
you, Jules.
In a row.
Thank you.
You can press, it's not going to work.
Goodness. Anything more to say? Should we move on?
Good.
Should we end the pod?
Yeah.
See you next week.
Thanks. See you everyone next week when I've had a better week. Oh no, actually, because we've still got another pod before I can have a better week. That's where it got worse.
Okay, then.
Never mind.
So, Sam, define got worse. Happened? Bring this to reality. Make the viewer understand your pain.
It's a safe place. Just let it go. It's a safe place.
It would be if you weren't here, Jules. If it was just me and Kelly, this would be a lovely space.
And I wouldn't have been mean at all. I'd have been more sympathetic.
You'd have been so supportive. And yeah, we've got you here. I decided to bring in João Pedro. The news that Cole Palmer was out, I was like, okay, I'll sell you. I'm going to use the money to upgrade Guiyu to bring in João Pedro. Let's deal with the elephant in the room that I haven't had him for the last couple of weeks and get him in. And actually, that transfer went really well. So obviously, especially with the news with Guiyu moving back to Chelsea, I was like, well, that's a problem solved as well. So actually, this feels like a positive thing that I've done. So I was very happy about that one. The midfield position was much more contentious. Like, I couldn't really decide who I fancied. Ideally, I'd have liked Bruno Fernandes, but the only way to get João Pedro up top was to save that little bit of extra money. So I couldn't really afford to go with him. The same with the likes of Cunha and Mbeumo as well. So the Manchester United boys were out, even though I quite fancied bringing one of them in. And Cunha was very popular and obviously then went off injured. So I was in that kind of 6.5 to 7.5-ish million bracket. And in the end landed on, I know what I'll do. I will pick my differential because I never pick them. And, you know, they tend to do all right usually. Not this week. Obviously, I brought in Morgan Gibbs-White. He didn't do very well. I thought it was actually going quite well in that game because, yet again, my Nottingham Forest clean sheet looked like it was all right and then suddenly disappeared. And not only did it disappear, it just got smashed by West Ham, and the conceding of goals then cost points. Was pleased to see Ait Nouri start, only to see him finish on zero. So all of the things that kind of could go wrong did go wrong. And I think it's one of those lessons, isn't it, with FPL, is that, like, that can happen. Like, you can have a terrible start to the season. Game week one went well, and just game week two and game week three have just been really difficult because the players that I've expected to do well just haven't. And players that I haven't got or that I've thought about or that are heavily owned around me have then gone on to do well. Like, I had obviously my other half, he had Bruno captain, so last minute penalty, that obviously was good for him. He had Dorgu, who didn't play. Yeah, he got Juf off his bench with a clean sheet and an assist. And it's just like everything. Sometimes that happens. That's just an FPL thing, right? Sometimes you just have a bad week or two. And it's difficult.
All three.
And there is a real temp. No, game week one was good. Game week four is going to be good. So it's going to be two bad weeks. It's going to be fine. So, but the temptation is real. I mean, I sat here last week and I said to you, I was really tempted to wildcard, and had we recorded the pod on Monday, I was very keen to do it then. I feel like I don't want to do it just yet. Like, I wanted to wait until the transfer window closed, because obviously that gives us some insight as well. So that happened on Monday. We've got a bit more insight now into how things are going to go. I look at my team for game week four with one transfer. I think it looks okay. So I ideally want to stick to my original plan. which is to get to game week 6 and then wild card into 7. But there is an element of, is that madness? Should I just deal with it now? Mm. But the team I'd build now is not the team I'll build two weeks down the line. And that is a bit, you know, it's not like the players that I've got aren't doing anything and aren't getting anywhere close. A lot of them are getting close and then just not returning at the end. So it's difficult. It's difficult to know what to do. So because I don't know, I'm not doing anything yet and I'm going to ride it out and just see where we are at the end of next week.
This is a first, I think. We're I don't know exactly how many minutes in, 4 or 5 minutes in, and we haven't heard from Jules yet, really, have we? Other than a few weeks.
I did my joke about Magic Johnson and then I had to let Magic talk.
So Sam got 32. I got 46. How many? So I sat somewhere in the middle. She got 32. I was trying to do that quickly. I got 46 and Jules got 57. So I was, how can you be happy with 46? But it was okay. Jules, you had a far better week. Talk us through it.
Yeah, I mean, it worked only with three players, pretty much. I mean, Diouf, I didn't expect West Ham. I thought West Ham would go back to defending quite well after the terrible start of the season that they had. Moved to a back four, which I think suits him too, Diouf, and suit this team better anyway. And then he gave an amazing cross. But we know he's such a good counter-attacking fullback anyway. So I was glad to see that. Then Margehi with the best goal that he would ever score in his whole entire life, and his children and his grandchildren. There's nobody in his whole family ever that can score a goal like this. Incredible. Even he didn't know how to explain it, to be fair. But so that was amazing. Plus, obviously, doing so well defensively as a unit, Palace, 15 points. And then draw Pedro as the captain. I was really torn between Pedro and Watkins to be the captain. And I left it on draw Pedro because he was in good form. We said that after the West Ham win. And even if Chelsea, I didn't think, played that well against Fulham, and neither did Pedro, to be fair. But his 9 points were good, became 18, and that was it. But then there's still so many disappointments. Reinders, I'm not sure what happened to him since game week one. It's a bit like Sam. He turned into Magic Johnson, 32 points, but nothing else, really. Ollie Watkins, I'm not sure what's happening to Aston Villa and to Ollie Watkins, because even when he has chances, like he did in the game at the weekend, he can't take them for the life of him. He had an XG of 0.65 and could not score. Wirtz, I've got no words left for him. I mean, I know he needs a bit of time to adapt, but come on, there's a difference between needing some time to adapt and being almost transparent and anonymous. Mo Salah, let's not go there. Van de Ven, thank you very much, Spurs. And then I had Renildo because I like him. But, you know, he was really three players that saved me. Otherwise, it's a shocking game week, a bit like Sam's.
Yeah.
Why?
I think the difference between me and you, really, Jules, was Gehi, basically. When I saw that happening in that game, I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. It was the last game of the game week, wasn't it? Was it last game of the game week?
Yeah, it was the Sunday late kickoff for some reason.
And that really boosted
the clean sheet. Because as we know, Palace are good defensively, but for him to score that goal, it's just incredible.
It's just luck, that is. Not from him, for you, I meant.
I would say,
both.
Really.
It was luck for both of them.
I think it's talent, planning and vision, to be fair. That's what I would say. He's back. The magic is back. A bit like Magic Johnson.
I had a few frustrations as well because I benched Diouf. I was so busy deciding my transfers at the last minute. I forgot to sort out my defence, and I would have played Diouf at Nottingham Forest over Anderson. So I was just annoyed when I realised I played Anderson the early kickoff. I don't like playing a player that's playing against my captain because I knew I had Joao Pedro as captain. Yeah. So I was buzzing about Joao Pedro, and then I looked at my team and was like, oh, I would have benched Anderson, and then Diouf did what he did. Also, I've got text messages that prove this. I was at the last minute, I thought Palmer wasn't going to go down on Friday night. Should have known he would have. Missed the price full. Anyway, the reason I didn't is I couldn't quite decide. I was between Kudus and Grealish, and I really wanted to go Grealish. And all I kept thinking was, when he flopped, Jules and you guys will just say, oh, it's my English bias. It's because I like him at England. So I went for Kudus. He felt like the safer pick, and I really was kicking
myself. Why was Kudus the safest pick? The guy has
had
zero shot.
Good fixtures. Yeah, but I thought for his price, I just thought he was a nice... I wanted more Spurs cover. I now don't want more Spurs cover because Spurs were not good. And Sam, I don't want to indulge your pain even more and go into that. If Grealish felt off the back of one performance, could I really do that? The answer was yes. He was brilliant. And I think loads of people are going to want him. Anyway, Chris Wood was the other one I considered bringing in, though. So you win some, you lose some. I escaped one there, didn't I, really?
And probably if you had Chris Wood, you probably would have captained him like most people
did. Yeah, exactly. So that's what I kind of, when I was annoyed about the Grealish thing as it was happening, I was thinking, okay, but I've escaped one with Chris Wood. It's the way FPL goes, isn't it? Some decisions go your way.
You win, you lose.
Some don't. So yeah. And I've finished in between you two, which is always quite a nice place to be. Does mean that temporarily Jules is top of our mini league. But like, I hate looking at the Premier League table at this time of the year.
I didn't hear what you said.
I also hate looking at our mini league. It doesn't matter at the moment. I'm going to keep talking over you. And instead,
where you are at the end, Jules. It's not where you are now.
I just could not hear. I just didn't hear.
Instead, I'm going to talk about the FPL Pod mini league because I do care about that. And David Bashua is the leader at the top. He got 60 points this week. He captained Haaland. He also had returns from Munoz Cucurella and Dayan Joao Pedro. He's 5 points ahead of second place Joe Wainman. Joe got 63. He had Bruno brought him in and captained him. Joe also had returns from Sanchez, Virgil van Dijk and Cucurella. There is a two-way tie in third place, though, with Daniel Larsson and NI. Both are just 1 point behind Joe. Daniel captain Pedro nifty handed the armband to Haaland. But by the way, this is the reason I don't like looking at leagues and stuff too early on. Nifty has played a chip at each of the opening three game weeks. So obviously, unless it's gone really badly, you should be up towards the top of the league, really, shouldn't you? Because otherwise the chips have been a disaster too. Bench boost game week one, wildcard game week two and free hit in game week three for him. In fact, all of the top 16 in the mini league have all played a chip. So if you're getting disheartened, don't. It's probably because you haven't used a chip. Do get disheartened if you've used chips as well, then you're still doing rubbish. The Pod mini league code is XY6XPL. I'm joking. It's a marathon, not a sprint. By the way, I feel like we should caveat all of this podcast by saying we normally record on a Thursday morning. We're recording late on Wednesday night if things sound a bit crazier than usual. Talking of late at night, there was a late night, well, not that late, deadline day on Monday. One of the most dramatic deadline days and windows in general that we have seen for some time, but also some moves that could potentially or will affect us in FPL. Firstly, Alexander Isak is finally a Liverpool player. The question is, though, Jules, does he go straight into that Liverpool team?
That's a great question, Kels. Let's see what he does with Sweden, because he's been called up despite not having played all summer at all, despite having been training on his own for the last, 6 weeks or so, pretty much, even more. So we're not really sure. I think nobody knows exactly what kind of match fitness he has and if he's even capable of playing, I don't know, 90 minutes in a Premier League game, let alone in a new team with new teammates in a different system, in a different club for a different manager than what he used to before. So it's certainly very, I would think, premature to bring him in, especially at his price, as he's 10.4 million. He lost 0.1 because people who had him then let him go. I suspect some, right? So it's very expensive. You can bring him in now. I really don't expect him to play. I think he will have to go through almost a mini preseason with Liverpool before being able to play, you would think, and they would play every 3 days after the international break because the Champions League is starting too. So there won't be much time for him to train with the rest of the team. So he will certainly need a bit of time before he can make his debut, I think.
We'll come on to Ekitike in a moment, Sam, because a lot of people will have invested in him. But do you want him as things stand, and how long? It feels like, for me, inevitable that at some point we are going to want him. How long do we wait?
I think you want to see him in a Liverpool shirt before you would invest. Like, for me, I'm not doing it now. I know there was a big movement of people that are on free hits trying to get four Liverpool players into their team for game week four against Burnley by having him when he was still a Newcastle player. And then obviously
he flips
over.
Just a quick question on that. If that does happen, your next, just to confirm that I understand this right, I mean, I do, I've played the game for years, then your next transfer then will require you to take a Liverpool player out, wouldn't it? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So if you had three Liverpool players already in your team and then you bought in Isak when he was still a Newcastle player, and then obviously he's flipped over into a Liverpool shirt now, so you've got four Liverpool in your team, you will not be allowed to make any transfers to your team that don't involve taking out one of your Liverpool assets.
I wonder if a few people that own Chelsea players might have that problem now.
Yes, you potentially have the same situation with Giroud as well as he comes back to Chelsea, because if you already, say, had Palmer and you also had Joao Pedro and maybe you had Cucurella or you had Sanchez, you might now be also in that position. So the game will force you to remove one. If you want a free hit, it's less of a thing. It just means you won't be able to make any further changes to that free hit team if you want to keep those four players from Liverpool, say, for the game against Burnley. And then it would obviously if you made another change, it would make you remove one of them. So that is definitely a thing for me. I'm really interested, obviously. I think, you know, the Liverpool front man is always exciting. He's playing in a team where they're going to be very creative, and we've already seen that they might not be defending particularly well, but they're certainly scoring goals this season. So for me, it's definitely up there as an interest factor. And it kind of tallies in with the game week 6 into 7 wildcard, because that by that point, we'll have seen hopefully minutes in Isak's leg on international duty. And then again, with Liverpool in both the Premier League and also in the Champions League. So for me, it is a wait and see. I'm not going early. Sometimes that's a mistake. But as Jules said, I think, you know, had we had a player that had been training with the team and was coming from having played in game weeks 1, 2, and 3 for another team and then moved across, like we're going to have with some of these other assets, that is very different, because you would expect them to be able to slot in. But Isak has signed, immediately gone off on international duty, so not really any time to bed in at Liverpool. He's going to come back a couple of days before the game week starts, do some training. I'll be very surprised to see him thrown in against Burnley, especially as Ekitike has been playing so well. So would you really need to disrupt it? It's not like they don't have somebody that's in good form up in that position.
I guess it will maybe calm a bit of interest, Jules, in Ekitike for the moment, because I think probably if Isak hadn't made the move to Anfield, I would have been going straight for Ekitike, I think.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to get rid of Verts. But I guess it just calls a bit of interest, doesn't it, while we just see what happens to that Liverpool attack.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for now, for all the reasons that we just explained on Isak, I think Ekitike will keep his place probably for the next game week 4, probably for game week 5 as well, I would think. And then we'll see after, could they play together? That's a possibility. We've seen Ekitike play wide in his career before. So this is also an option for slots. For Isak, I think it's a little bit more difficult, although he played that time with Callum Wilson together and Isak was a little bit more on that kind of left-hand side, certainly out of possession and quite close to Callum Wilson when they had the ball. So you could maybe see this. Could they go to a full 4-4-2? I don't believe it at all, because for the rest of the players that they had, I don't think this works. But we'll have to wait a little bit to see if that's possible, or if Isak simply comes and takes Ekitike's place and we still have Virts behind him, Salah on the right, Gakpo on the left, and then a double pivot behind them. And in that case, then Ekitike becomes this super sub, a bit of a luxury because of the price he paid. But right now, he's not at the level of in-form Isak anyway. I think we can all agree on that. So we'll have to see. But there's a possibility that he still has a lot of game time, certainly for the next 2-3 game weeks. And after that, it might be a bit more difficult, because I could easily see Isak taking his place and Ekitike sitting on the bench.
The other thing is that they do have to prepare for life without Salah while he's away at AFCON. So you will have to see some changes in formation around. So we might just get a little bit more rotation across that Liverpool attack over the next few weeks and months up to December when we see the players go off for AFCON. So it does make me just a little bit more wary generally of investing in that Liverpool attack, which isn't ideal going into some really nice fixtures for them. And it actually maybe makes me more likely to end up keeping Verts, because I don't really know about Gakpo. If Ekitike goes out wide, what does that mean for him? There's so much uncertainty that I just want to see a little bit of calming down at Liverpool now going into the next couple of weeks.
Okay, what about Johan Wisser then? We haven't seen Wisser in the league this season either. Anthony Gordon is still going to be suspended after the international break. Do you expect him to go straight in, Jules?
Again, I think for the same reasons that for Isak, we don't know his fitness. He will cost you 7.5 million. So, you know, he's a little bit more expensive than a Voltomada, for example, or Colomwani, who are also new signings, and we will talk about them in a bit. But he's got that Premier League experience that the others don't have, that I mentioned. And also, he's on the back of a very good season with Brentford. Do you play again 2 up front, Wisa and Voltomada? Is it just 1? Voltomada can play wide, Wisa not so much. How does that fit in what Newcastle have already with, you know, Gordon, Elanga, who they spend a lot of money on? Where does Barnes becomes a super sub again, I guess, same with Murphy. But so this would be interesting to see. And until we know what Eddie Howe wants to do tactically, same with Slot, I think it's hard to just know exactly what you want to do with Wisa. Potentially, I think it could be a good asset for you if he starts scoring, if Newcastle kind of play for him, and let's say him and Voltomade link up well together, that front two, the big man, tall man, big man, small man, sorry, not big man, tall man.
It's two very big men up front.
Yeah, very big. Could work maybe, but again, I'm very skeptical on a front two for Newcastle. So we'll have to see.
Okay. What do you know about, because you do watch every bit of football, I imagine you'll have watched Voltomade more than the rest of us. What do you expect from him?
Yeah, he had six amazing months with Stuttgart. That I don't think we expected him to hit that kind of level. And now it's a huge move in the biggest league in the world, the toughest league in the world. And he's still so young, but he's got a very special and particular skill set because he's super tall. He's 6'7", and yet he can dribble like a winger, really. He's that skillful technically. So it could be very interesting to see what happens with him. I think he's at 7 million. His price is 7 million. I think this is a little bit much for somebody who had only six months pretty much of first-team football in his career, certainly at this kind of level. So it'd be interesting to see. I think he will need a bit of time to get used to the Premier League, the physicality, the intensity. The intensity physically, because in the Bundesliga, it's open and he loves that, but it's not as physical as it is here. So again, we see with Wissa on his own up front, can he do it against big, strong center backs? I'm not sure yet, but I think he's one to keep an eye on, because if it clicks, it could work really, really well for him.
Colin Muani's arrived at Spurs as well, Jules. Well, actually, I'll ask Sam about this first, because it's a Spurs player, isn't it? What am I doing?
Yeah.
On loan from PSG.
He's come from Jules's club.
I was going to say, I hadn't really thought about that.
To Magic Johnson.
To be fair, I probably should go and tell Sam and the Spurs fans then what they should expect.
I think it's a really good profile for what Thomas Frank will want to do at times. Playing on the counter with a lot of space to run into. When you play the running game and you press and you want to be aggressive, he's good for that. He can play as a nine centrally, he can play wide. He played wide for France, more centrally with Juventus, for example, after his loan from PSG. When you have a lot of the ball, technically, he's not the most gifted, and that could be a little bit of a problem, I guess, at times. But I think it would give Thomas Frank a few options. For us in the game, I'm not too sure. I think it will depend a lot on the opposition.
Anything you want to add, Sam? Or just waiting and see?
Yeah, I think it's a wait and see, because at the minute, the front three, with the exception of the Bournemouth game, have been doing quite well together. I think the potential injury to Solanke is something to keep an eye on, this ankle. And obviously that might have had an impact in terms of why we went and did this transfer as well, just to make sure we have cover, because Richarlison also has a particularly difficult injury track record as well. So making sure that you don't go into the start of the Champions League, where we've got to play each other again, Jules, that'll be fun, won't it?
In Paris.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So I think it's making sure that we don't go into that really short in those attacking positions. So I don't know. I'm quite intrigued by this one. Half season loan last year, got 16 goals. Eight goals in 16 games. So I think, decent enough. Let's see how he beds in. I wouldn't be going straight there, though. I think there's better Spurs assets if you want to go for a Spurs player right
and
now.
And both Manchester clubs have new goalkeepers, quite different goalkeepers. The first thing is surely... I don't know. Does that enhance their appeal for clean sheets? But also, Jules, does it change the way the teams might play? I'm thinking particularly Manchester City.
Yeah, with Donnarumma, priced at 5.5 million. So the highest price for a goalkeeper this season. In our game, I don't expect him to go straight into the team for game week 4, simply because he would have had maybe one day of training or 2 days maximum after coming back from Italy with the national team. And I think it's a bit difficult when that's the case, and the game is the derby, and not that he hasn't played derbies before, but it would feel a little bit weird, and I think a bit cruel for James Trafford as well, who's also away with England, but at least has been playing and training with his team since July 1st, because they were in the Club World Cup, but for more time, really. So I don't expect Donnarumma to be starting in goal for City in game week 4, but after that, you don't spend that much money on the guy who is the best goalkeeper in the world, certainly on his line, if you don't, and not playing him, really. As good as Trafford could have been at times, he was good against Brighton, not so good against Spurs. But yeah, Donnarumma can't really sit on the bench. So yes, he's got flaws in his game, like his distribution and coming out on set pieces and crosses in the air. He's not really comfortable, which could be a problem in England and in the Premier League. but on his line, he's just the best in the world. So I think he would become a very, an asset that you look at and it's quite tempting.
Yeah. And I kind of just feel like with, as I said, Sam, both Manchester clubs, they're having new goalkeepers, which they clearly think are upgrades because they wouldn't have brought them in otherwise. It's only going to enhance their defence, or it should enhance their defence, and therefore the appeal of their defenders. And that's good for us.
It should. Yeah, absolutely. It should with both of them. And I think it will be interesting to see how that plays out, because obviously the clean sheets have been a little bit of frustration over the last couple of weeks. Like, I've had 8 Norrie, obviously no clean sheet again against Brighton in game week 3, but at least he was back. So I'm kind of hopeful now that we might see a little bit more defensive solidity. I think the only thing that concerns me is that obviously when a new goalkeeper comes in, it does sometimes take a little bit of time for them to build that relationship with the back line, for them to trust each other. And so it might be that we don't see that increase in clean sheet straight away. It might be 2 or 3 weeks down the line. And particularly when you've got difficult fixtures, which these two do for the next couple of weeks, by the time we get to sort of game week 7, where we're talking about a wild card, probably for a lot of managers, because that's when the fixtures swing for both Arsenal and Manchester City, that might be the time that you want to invest in the defence. But if you haven't already done so, with me, I've already got 8 Norrie. I'm likely to just keep him for the next couple of weeks and hope that we see some improvement there and maybe get a bit of attacking threat also.
Okay, any other names that you want to throw into the mix that you think could be interesting for FPL, Jules?
I think we've covered the most. I mean, this is certainly the latest signings. We talked a little bit before, earlier in the season, about the guys who've already arrived. But for the deadline day, kind of special, if you want, I think it's pretty good. And again, there's some that might adapt very quickly and then become really interesting assets, including the goalkeepers. And we mentioned Donnarumma and Faustine Lamens at United. It might be the same. I think he will become the number one because he's a better goalkeeper than Baindia for sure. And Onana is clearly not fancied by Ruben Amorim and United. So it would be interesting at 5 million to see, you know, what he does. He had an incredible, one of the best save percentage last season in Belgium, but in the whole of Europe. So this is something to really keep an eye on. And the same as we've been mentioned for Wissa, Isak, Voltomade, Colomani, but even Jadon Sancho at Villa, Harvey Elliott at Villa, are they starting? Are they not starting? What can they bring? All of that, I think you need to keep an eye, but it will take a few game weeks. So there's no rush to do it now and bringing, I think, all those kind of new signings now because you don't know how tactically they will fit in their new teams. Just wait at least game week 4, maybe even game week 5, and then you'll have a better idea and understanding of where they fit, how good they are. If they lack match fitness, it might take them another couple of weeks. So there's plenty of time before we can assess them properly.
Okay, let's now move on to a hot topic in the FPL world, wild cards. We've already questioned why on earth Sam hasn't pressed the button, given her rocky, tricky, I can't think of a nicer word, start so far. But she's not pressing it because I'm guessing, well, you said you like your team as it stands, and also you know there are
32.
Those... No, she likes the team for the next game week. But also, there are those fixture swings. I've covered that, haven't I, right, Sam? That's the reason you haven't wildcarded.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's pros and cons to doing it. The benefits of doing it right now, you can rejuvenate your squad. You can get rid of all the deadwood, the players that you're not happy with. If you've got players like Saliba or Palmer or Saka or Cunha or Ismaila Sarr, all of these players that are now a doubt, right, moving forward, you can take them all out, you can fix everything and you can make it better. The transfer window is now closed. We know there's going to be no further incomings. That's also helpful for us in FPL because you're not second guessing whether someone's going to take the place of your player. Although, as we've just mentioned, you still do have that risk factor when we are seeing how players bed in. You can increase your team value because lots of players will wildcard over the international break. So you can catch the price rises as they happen. You can get on the more heavily owned ones, the ones that are attracting attention. You can get rid of any players that might unfortunately get injured over the international break. Like, that also could be a thing that impacts people's decisions. And you can look at the fixture ticker. You can look at the fixture difficulty rankings and you can decide which teams to invest in. And you can fully focus in on the ones that have got great fixtures from game week 4. But there's also some cons to doing it right now. So taking that last point, really, the only two teams that have great fixtures from, say, 4 to 10 are Liverpool and Spurs. Now, if you look at other windows, move it slightly forward to game week 7, you get great fixtures also, continuing for these two, but you get Arsenal and Man City in there as well. So looking at those fixture blocks and picking a period around that is quite important. We also still do have a little bit of a lack of information right now. We are only 3 game weeks into the season. What we saw in game week 1 was very different in most cases to what we saw in game week 2. And then game week 2 was also very different again. So we haven't seen any consistency yet from a lot of teams, let alone players. And then I think it does mean if you go now, you leave yourself with a very long period of time between now and game week 20 when you can start activating your next one. That period of time, so much can change in there. You've got Champions League starting, the Europa League, the Conference League. You've got AFCON kicking off. There's so much, 2 more international breaks. There's so much going on in that period that it's a long time to be without a wild card. Now, yeah, you could argue you're going to get 5 transfers around AFCON and you can roll your transfers, you can save them up. Yes, totally. But getting yourself 2, 3, 4 game weeks further down the line to the next international break or to game week 7 at least just buys you a bit more time. So for me, right now, the cons are higher than the pros of doing it.
Okay, let's go through who you'd be opting for if you had pressed the button. Jules, who would your 2 keepers be?
I like Sanchez. I think Chelsea are proving quite good defensively. So if you don't go for a defender like a Correa or Chalobah, who's been doing really well for them, I think Sanchez is decent. Dubravka, you can go because he's a starting goalkeeper at 4 million and that's really good. There are other options, but right now I see the Sanchez, Dubravka kind of duo pretty good.
Ah, kind of you to pick my goalkeepers, Sam.
I think, so I actually sat and made you 3 teams, Kelly, one with Salah, one with Haaland and one with both. So I'll just pick one of them to go through, but I can maybe run through them at the end if you want all 3 of them. But in all 3 of them, I have the same 2 goalkeeping rotation. Obviously, Dubravka stays, but I've gone for Raya because I think you have to look longer term with your goalkeeper situation. And so going for Raya, yes, you might not have the best of fixtures over the next couple of weeks, but then you get a really nice block of fixtures coming up for Arsenal. So I've gone for him because I think he makes for a good set and forget between now and when you would next get a wild card after Christmas.
Defenders, go. Jules.
Yeah, I'm the only reason why I didn't pick Raya is because I want an Arsenal defender. So Raya, I'm not sure about doubling up even with Arsenal. So Timber, I think, is great value for what you would get, you know, for the money that you would spend on him. Onset pieces, he's been very good. Scoring defensively is good. If he stays fit, I think that's great. Van de Ven, again, because of the price, I know they conceded and he got a yellow card against Bournemouth, but I think he's still solid. Gueye, Diouf, I think are also very good assets. Gudmundsen, I think at Leeds is an interesting one because Leeds, I think, will have some decent games going forward. He's good, he's strong. And they also showed that they can keep, you know, clean sheets because that's 2 in 3 now. So yes, they conceded 5 against Arsenal and he got done by a 15-year-old, but... I think potentially there's a good player, 4 million, that is interesting.
Okay. Was that 5? Did you say 5? I can't count.
I might say even more than 5, but you know, I like to give you more.
It's just giving us the whole of the
defense. No, it's nice. Gives people options. That's what we're here for. Sam, you did a few nods along there, but I'm guessing there's going to be some differences.
There's some differences, but there's also some similarities in there. So I think if you're picking a wild card right now, like I definitely would absolutely still keep Van de Ven. I think he's offering good value for money. I weirdly would go back into the Liverpool defence because of the fixtures between now and game week 10 are so good. Like there's just a sea of really attractive fixtures in there. So I'd go for Virgil. Bit of added security. Plus we're seeing the DEFCONs arriving regularly for him. And that's an important aspect of it right now, because that's an additional 2 points, even when the clean sheet is going. I really like Munoz. I'm back there again, Kels. I know I spent a lot of last season lusting after him, but here we are again. And I think, yes, you can absolutely go cheaper with the Gueyes or the Richards or Lacroix, however you want to do it. I really like Munoz for the attacking threat that he brings alongside the potential for the clean sheet. So I've got him in there. Senesi, I think, is being massively overlooked.
Jules,
right now.
You've got him in your team, haven't you?
No, I don't. Oh. But yeah,
he wishes he did.
Yeah, no, I agree with Sam. He's been very good.
Very, very good. And the fixtures are really, really nice for Bournemouth. So he is one that I think, you know, at 4.5, incredible value for money that you can invest in and just set and forget on. And as a 4.5, that's ideal. And I also agree with Jules on Leeds. I think, you know, the fixtures coming up are nice. So I put Roden in, but if you want to go for Gudmundsen, then absolutely. I don't mind either of them.
Midfield and forwards feel like they're going to be trickier. So Sam said she'd done draft. You've got a salary list draft as well, have you?
Yeah, I've got one with both premiums, one with each of them, because okay, it's difficult.
All right, let's go. Well, Jules, just go with yours first.
Yeah, Salah is in, but you know from the beginning. Like, for the people who listen to us since the first show in the summer, I was not digging him. I'm still not. I'm not sure. Like, and I know this is the king of FPL. Really, I understand. You know, this is no. Yeah.
Just one shot in the last two matches.
But is it
actually 0.05?
It's not much the shot, Sam. Sorry, Kelly. I feel like he's not in the game.
No, he's not until the others go off. It's like the end of the game. He takes Ekotike and Verts off, and then suddenly Salah's a bit more involved again. But on the new system, he's just not.
Yeah.
I wonder if part of the reason that we're all keeping Salah is because there's no other standout Liverpool option and we're so unsure of where to go outside of him at the moment, because we're all a bit nervous. We've spoken about Ekotike and Isak. Verts hasn't kicked off like we had. Gakpo, he's been brilliant, but who knows about his position. So it almost just feels safer to have Salah because we know he's Mo Salah. I don't know. That's my thinking anyway.
And by being bad, he still has a goal and an assist, to be fair.
And you can get down from him very easily to a cheaper asset if you need to, rather than get up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
who else have you got, Jules?
Yeah, so I've got Enzo because I think he's been very interesting in this Chelsea team. Semenyo is good. Iliman Ndiaye has been not a revelation because we know he's capable, but now that Everton midfield has clicked a little bit with Grealish and even Jude Bellingham, who had a very good last game when Sam put him on the bench because he didn't like it.
Double-dressed.
As I told him that he was benched by Sam, he said, okay, I'll show her.
I'll show
Magic Johnson. So that has clicked, and I think Iliman Ndiaye, you know, gives you a bit of something special there. He won't return every week, but there's something good in there. Danen Doi, who's very good until I put him in my team and I mentioned him as a differential, was dreadful at the weekend, but there's a player there. So again, you've got some really good options. And that's not even going into the likes of, I mean, Saka, Palmer are injured, but Bruno and Bomo, who I think now that he's got his first goal for United in the league, I think you will see some really good performances from him with United. And I'm convinced he's going to score regularly. And I think Mbomo looks really good in your team after they've played United and Chelsea.
Sam, how does yours compare?
The one that's got Salah in it, it's got your mate Jack Grealish in it. I've really been impressed by Jack Grealish the last couple of weeks. Really impressed by him. So Jack is there. Anton Semenyo, I think I just really like him. I probably should have gone with him last week. The Spurs fixture put me off, but maybe I'll do that this week. Just get rid of Gibbs White straight away. Obviously Salah. The other two, in order to try and make a very attacking front line, which we'll get to in a minute, are cheap. So I've got Josh King at 4.5. I just think that that's really good value there. And yeah, you can spend a little bit more on the likes of Jusby Hall, but if that 4.5, a bit like we were saying with Mark Guillou at the beginning of the season, if that 4.5 position is going to allow you to have a fantastic front eight, includes him, he's a lot better than Guillou now, particularly as he's gone back to Chelsea. So Josh King looking like a decent option. Kind of intrigued by Harvey Elliott as well at 5.4. Like, he's obviously taken a price drop, made that move over to Aston Villa in the transfer window. We didn't mention him. And he's one I'm kind of intrigued by because I think he's exactly the kind of player that I think Aston Villa will massively benefit from with the way that they've started this season. So he's in the Salah draft. And then the front three is a bit heavy. So there is a bit of a cheaper midfield there.
Okay. Forwards, Jules.
Joao Pedro, you have to, because as we've said since day one, again, he's so heavily owned that when he scores or when he's captain and scores, then if you don't have him, you're losing so much. So Joao Pedro there. Ekitike for now, because the Liverpool, as Sam mentioned, the Liverpool fixtures are great until we know what happens with Isak and what Ekitike does, but he's a very good option still. Erling Haaland is still, despite still not being that great and City not being that great, is the second forward with the most points. So this is pretty remarkable. Still behind Joao Pedro. I think he's only two behind, 26 and 24. So Haaland still has to be in your mind when you do your wild card. He has to. And then your third one, Mateta, we mentioned him, we love him. I think Thiago at Brentford has been really interesting, quietly scoring points, interesting, on penalties. So it's a potential very low owned and quite cheap as well.
Okay, that feels quite bold, but I kind of quite like it. Sam, yours?
So sticking with the Salah team for a minute, I think João Pedro for now, absolutely. I would keep Mateta for the fixtures that they've got coming up. Palace fixtures look really nice. And then I've got Gyökeres in there as well to prepare for those nice Arsenal fixtures that are coming up. And especially with the uncertainty around Nottingham Forest and the way that they've been conceding goals, I think, you know, the next fixture doesn't hold much fear. But that team has allowed enough money to be left in the bank that either João Pedro or Mateta can be upgraded to Isak when he settles into that Liverpool team and becomes first choice.
So no Haaland?
No. If you want the Haaland, if you can do both, it is perfectly feasible to get a team with both Salah and Haaland because of some of the cheaper assets that have been playing well. If you want to go for Haaland over Salah, then you can afford to have, rather than having Josh King and Salah in the middle, you can drop down to having two roughly 7 million midfielders in that spot. So you could put like, I don't know, somebody like a Gakpo and a Kudus in there or somebody along those lines. And that would give you enough money to have João Pedro, Mateta and Haaland up top.
God, how much time have you spent doing that this week?
That's pretty good though.
Believe me, Kels, I have... And this is also part of it because I have spent so long thinking about wildcards. Do you want the one that's got both of them in it?
Yeah, yeah, go for it.
Okay, so it's still got Rare and Dubravka. There's some slight compromises in defence. So Richards instead of Munoz, Roden, Senesi, Romain, Virgil and Van de Ven also sticking in there.
Wow.
Shrewsbury Hall instead of... Yeah, you can have a decent defence. Shrewsbury Hall comes in instead of Jack Grealish. It keeps Semenyo. You have Salah. You have then Josh King and Harvey Elliott. And then up top, you have João Pedro, Haaland and Mateta. It's actually
nice,
really nice.
As well.
Your compromise is that you have to play at least one, maybe two, of Jusby Hall, Josh King and Harvey Elliott every week. So you could go 4-4-2, but then you're not going to want a bunch. So you have to basically play at least one or two of them. And so you have to decide how comfortable you are with that. Jusby Hall proved in game week three that actually maybe he's fine to play every week. And we're yet to see Harvey Elliott in an Aston Villa shirt. But I don't know. It's a compromise where if I was wildcarding right now, I think I'd make it.
Really?
Mm, I think I'd go for this one that's got both of them.
To be fair, it is a lot nicer than I thought it would be.
Yeah. Mm. The only negative is that the only Arsenal player you have in there is Raya. But then you could easily get to others by moving some
investments.
There's
no standout
around.
Option at the moment with Saka injured as well, though, is there? So, yeah. I can certainly see the appeal. Okay, well, that's where we are leaving it, Sam. You don't have to... I was going to say you don't have to talk about FPL for a week, but you do.
No, I will,
because it's your job. So, enjoy talking loads more about your team and counting down to the deadline so you can forget about this game week. There is over a week until the next deadline. So, whatever you're doing, guys, have a great week. Don't go too early with the transfers. Remember, plenty of international games to come. Plenty could happen. And then all your transfers could be scuppered. Have a good weekend. See you soon. Bye.